wake up. There's no sleeping in on Saturday. It's time for the Paul Santos Show on WBSM. Join Paul as he tackles local issues, current events, and fun conversations. Call 508-996-0500 or send Paul an app chat message on the WBSM app. Hey, hey, hey. Now, here's Paul Santos. What you got to say?
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of a storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver song of love. Walk on through the
song always reminds me of the Jerry Lewis Labor Day telethon, right? Jerry Lewis used to sing that song at the very end with a lot of emotion coming through. And it was always depressing because, you know, we kind of watched the Jerry Lewis Labor Day telethon and it was depressing at the time because the summer was over. We were in school or in high school, college, and we knew we had to go back to school. So Labor Day was always depressing. And then he would play that song and then you would see all of the young people fighting muscular dystrophy, and it always brought out emotions. Well, I thought this was a good song for right now as we get through a very difficult week. If you're just waking up and you didn't hear the first hour, a couple of topics on the table this morning. As you know, Thursday was the anniversary of September 11th of 2001. And I just had an interesting question, just a question to toss out there. Sometimes people have interesting stories. Where were you? Remember when John F. Kennedy was assassinated? And after that, I remember my dad's generation and people who remembered it. I just barely missed remembering it because I was 3 years old. But anybody that's older than me remembers it. And I just remember people would say, where were you? Where were you when you heard? My dad was teaching school at the Campbell School in New Bedford. And the teacher next door came into his room and said, Jesse, my dad's name, Jesse, did you hear what happened? President Kennedy got shot. Put the radio on, put the TV on. That's how he found out. And there are many, many stories like that. Like that lady that called right before the news, unfortunately, right before that break, I had to speed things up. But, you know, the fact that she worked the third shift, came home at 6 in the morning, went to bed before 8 o'clock, slept all day because people who work that last shift have to sleep, right? They sleep all day. And then she wakes up at 4 o'clock and is like, what the heck is going on? And she finally put the television on. That was an interesting story. And me, I thought it was ironic that I just happened to be listening to WBSM that morning, which back then I really didn't do. But I was on my way to a doctor's appointment in Boston, and I had WBSM on. And Pete Braley was the host at the time. He made the announcement of the first plane and then the second plane. And it was when the second plane hit. After the first plane, a lot of people thought there was some kind of malfunction of the plane. But then when the second one hit, then everybody knew that, of course, it was a terrorist attack. And on it went from there. And then I got to Boston. I continued to go to Boston to have my appointment, which my wife said you should have turned around and came back home. So I had my appointment. And then the thing I remember about it is that when I turned around and returned home from Boston, it was mid to late afternoon. Ordinarily, I'd be in like rush hour traffic and everybody and everything. There was nobody on the road at all. I was driving down the expressway and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. There's nobody on the road. Maybe I should have canceled this appointment. But you know how it is with doctor's appointments. It takes so long to get an appointment. I just figured, well, I'll just keep the appointment. But the thing that was eerie about it was driving back and, you know, there was nobody on the expressway. I've never seen the expressway empty like that, not even in the middle of the night. So where were you when you heard about 9/11? Number two, you know, the awful, god-awful assassination of Charlie Kirk. whose show aired right here on WBSM. Awful, gruesome, should be completely and totally condemned. But I was a little disheartened with this thought that, well, Democrats are to blame. Democrats are to blame. That's, don't come at me with that, please. Because, you know, an overwhelming majority of Democrats do not believe in murder. In fact, none of them do that I know. You get people on the fringes of either side that believe in violence. And by the way, that was the thing that was so unfortunate about the president's comments, because once again, he had an opportunity to be unifying. And once again, he comes up short. He gave examples of violence that were committed by people against people who are conservative. But then he left out a whole bunch of them on the other side. Like, if he was going to give a list of, hey, political violence has to stop, for example, in this case against that Democrat, in this case against that Republican, in this case against that Democrat, in this case against that Republican, let's all come together as fellow Americans. No. Immediately goes to, well, you know, it's the Democrats. That's what they want. That's what they want. That's not what they want. Who's they? And by the way, you left out the fact that Minnesota House Speaker Melissa Hortman and her husband Mark got murdered. That Minnesota State Senator John Hoffman and his wife Yvette got shot and wounded during an assassination attempt. That Gabrielle Giffords was never the same. She was shot and seriously wounded while meeting constituents at a shopping center in Arizona. Greg Greenberg, in February 2022, a shooting attempt was made on Mr. Greenberg, a Democrat running for mayor of Louisville, Kentucky, at his campaign headquarters. Gretchen Whitmore, there was a plan to assassinate her, kidnap her. Of course, there was January 6th, where people barged into the Capitol building chanting, "Hang Mike Pence." The terrible attack on Paul Pelosi. They broke into Nancy Pelosi's house. Now, you can disagree with Nancy Pelosi. You can strongly dislike her. They broke into the house and hit her elderly husband over the head with a hammer, fracturing his skull, requiring surgery. So if you're going to condemn all these actions, you have to condemn all of them. And if you're going to list them, if you start to list them, maybe you don't list them at all. Maybe you just say in general that political violence has to stop. But to start listing them and only list one side of them and then say, well, that's them. Yeah, that's them. They're coming at us. That's them. And then somebody on the other side, like Alex Jones, I mean, this guy's on the fringe right. And he says things like, this is civil war. We got to go get them. But who? Who's they? Who's they and them? This person right here, Mr. Robinson, who's in custody, by all accounts, he's a lone gunman, like 90% of them are. 90% of these people who get up in a perch and shoot a gun, most of the time they're disturbed young males. And the fact that they've arrested this individual, hopefully they have the right person. Hopefully he'll be tried and convicted and either given the death penalty or sent away for life, as President Trump said. I'm with you there. But just to blame Democrats or progressives or people you disagree with, isn't that wrong? Am I wrong? Give me a call, 508-996-0500. Be glad to chat with you. We have to be able to speak with people we disagree with. And I can do better, too. I mean, I think I do okay. I have, as I said, close friends on both sides of the political aisle. I have family members on both sides of the political aisle. People I hang out with. People I see every week. People who come to my TV show or watch my TV show. And there are Democrats, there are Republicans, there are progressives, there are there are people from all walks of life. And I think that's one thing I like to do with my TV show. I don't know how many people have seen it. I know it's a little hokey, but one person told me, well, that's the charm of it, the fact that it is low budget. By the way, it airs every other Sunday morning, 11:30 now on ABC6, and they finally put the name of the show up there. So it's not on tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow it's there, and the name of the show is actually up on the guide. So if you have cable and you go to that spot 11:30 a.m. on Sunday morning, you can actually DVR it now. And if you want to see the show on YouTube, that lady said she's not on social media, but she's on YouTube. Well, if you type in Paul Santos live show, you can see my show. And I pattern it like Jay Leno. Jay Leno was right. You know, Jay Leno came out about the fact that most of those late night shows are too political. You know, it's not like, you know, and you can talk politics like Johnny used to do. Johnny used to come out and he'd make a crack about, say, Jimmy Carter, and then he'd make a wise crack about Gerald Ford, and then he'd move on to the next thing. Or then he'd make a crack about Ronald Reagan, and then he'd say something about Walter Mondale. Then he'd move on, you know? And you never really knew where he was. And nobody cared because we just liked him as a talk show host. This guy, Colbert, I mean, every single night he just sits there and pounds away at the conservatives. So basically, you've just lost all of the conservatives in your audience. My TV show isn't political at all. Every once in a while, I'll make a political joke, but a lot of times it's a local political joke. But most of the time, the humor is just anybody's going to laugh, whether you're conservative, liberal. And then we bring on singers. We bring on people of interest, people that have various interests. We love doing that. So that's what we do on the TV show. And I think, you know, I do think that Jay Leno was right. Jay Leno said that those late night shows, now the late night shows are phasing out anyway. You know why? Because you don't have to wait till 11:30 to watch the show. You can watch it anytime. You can click a button like in 2 seconds at, you know, 6 at night or 10 in the morning and watch a late night show. You don't have to actually wait up to watch it. So that hurts the late night shows. But I think if there was maybe one, there's three of them too, competing against each other. Once Johnny became the king, nobody really went against him. So he was on by himself against Nightline. So he had kind of a monopoly, a well-earned monopoly, but he had a monopoly. But these talk shows here, there's three of them. That's too many. But if you had like one, like Tonight Show kind of thing, and it was down the middle and everybody watched it and everybody laughed and everybody had fun, I think that's what those shows should go for. 508-996-0500. Hello, you're next on WBSM.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Yeah, good. How are you today?
I agree with you. I miss the late-night shows that were entertainment-based. You know, whether it was Leno or Carson or, you know, they were just so much fun, you know, and Carson specifically stayed away from politics. Very rarely was there ever, unless he had a question posed to him by somebody that was sitting in the chair next to him or something, but he got off that.
Right. Well, you know what he did? He would say something like, hey, you know, Ronald Reagan, was quoting George Washington, you know, I understand that they met once, you know, like making fun of the fact that he's, exactly. You know, that kind of, you know what I mean? So then he'd say something about Jimmy Carter, you know, whatever, he's a peanut farmer or something, you know. But it was very like a couple of quick shots, everybody laughed regardless of what side you were on, and then he went on to something else. It wasn't this like mean-spirited, you know, like over and over and over again, arguing the other side.
He wasn't bought and paid for like the current entertainers are. For their careers if they don't go with the narrative that the network tells them.
By the way, have you ever seen my TV show before?
You know, no, I haven't. I'll have to check.
All right.
I'll have to check it out.
Paul Santo's live show on YouTube, and you'll get a kick out of it because I try to do Carson, and of course, he has about 1,000 times more ability than I do, but I try to do a local version of the Carson show, and we just have a lot of fun with it. It's like a hobby.
Is it on YouTube?
Yeah, you can get it on YouTube, yes.
Okay, next day it rains and I'm socked in, I'll look for it.
Have to be a blizzard.
Exactly. No, your other point about the discourse, there's kind of a couple levels, and one that I'm even more shocked about, I guess, but, you know, I don't, you know, anyone that has a low IQ that ends up shooting an innocent person, that should be condemned on all fronts. I was really happy to see Joe Biden and Obama and George Bush, you know, come out with statements because that's leadership, even if it's small. Following that, you know, like you said, I think there are people that are trying to make this a left and a right thing. It's the left, it's the right. And to me, it's not at all. It's American values that supersede you and I. Even if you doubled our age and went back, it still supersedes us.
Don't you think the president could have done better in his statement?
Yeah, I don't. I don't like what he said at all.
Yeah,
I voted for him, but I'm a conservative, but I also I'm not a Republican, and I voted across both aisles. I voted for Obama once and voted for Bill Clinton once, but I didn't agree with what he said. I don't agree with the fact that he's pushing as the president, the death penalty. I don't think this guy should be martyred. You know, because that's what's going to happen. I don't want to go down the path about the left and the right.
Right.
I want to say that I'm super disappointed and even angry. This week I had a guy I worked with for 7 years. I had to block him on Facebook. And if he calls me, we can probably have a good conversation. But what he posts on Facebook when he says, I wonder how the bullet survived or how the bullet did. You know, and
that's awful.
You know, it is. And if you met this guy, you'd be like, this is the nicest guy in the world. But because people have access to spew online with no consequence, mm-hmm. It's pretty bad. And what I've seen from different people posting things with TikTok videos and all this other stuff, and I'm not on TikTok, it's just stuff that comes up on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
We have a real sickness in our country that, you can celebrate, somebody getting murdered. That's an innocent person. And I know someone will call and say, oh no, he wasn't innocent. Yeah, he was. He was just using his words.
Absolutely. 100%. And conversely, I agree with everything you just said. Conversely, I was kind of disappointed. Yeah, I know. Well, you said you voted for Obama and Clinton. So I had to like grab the table here for a second, but anyway,
there you go.
No, but seriously, you know, some of the stuff that came from conservatives on Facebook, people that I know, I'm like, geez, you know, just think about when you start saying things like, yeah, that's what the Democrats want. Yep, that's what the liberals want. They want murder. You know, don't say things like that because that's not true. You know, I don't think that's nice to come at me with that. You know what I mean?
No, Alex Jones represents what I call the flat earthers.
Exactly.
Know, they know we have more evidence that the earth is round, and yet there are people that I know that tell me the earth is flat. You know, you've been looking at bad info. I'm just like,
how can that be? How can anybody believe that the earth is flat? I mean, then of course what he did with the Newtown people. Imagine being a parent of a Newtown kid and you have to sue this guy because this guy's making up all this nonsense. That's just disgusting, you know?
Yeah, especially that's a great example. That is a great example because it's the same as the people that are coming out, the teachers. Like, that's the ones that bother me the most. It's like, you're going in front of kids and you really think that it's okay to kill Charlie Kirk and onward and upward. Those people should be fired. I'm sorry.
I heard about that. I didn't see what they said. Unfortunately, when the news comes on and they say, well, this person got suspended because they said something inappropriate, the first thing I want to say is, well, what did they say? So I can make a determination, you know, but I don't know what it was.
Some was innocuous, but there were some people that were saying that basically they were asking for the next assassination. And I guess, don't we arrest those people? You know, that make assassination threats. I mean, it's a threat.
Well, if you say something that could incite somebody to actually do it, you know, rile somebody up, that can be a threat. But if you say, I think it's a good thing that so-and-so got assassinated or something like that. You can say that. That's repulsive. That's repugnant. That's not a threat, though. But, you know, it's certainly something that should be reviled and something that should be condemned for sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go look at the weather and look for the next rainstorm coming so I can watch your show.
All right. Thanks very much. Have a great weekend.
See ya.
Okay. Hello. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, good morning, Paul.
How are you today?
Quite well, thanks. And yourself?
Pretty good. What's on your mind?
Well, the problem is that understanding what it really means to be a martyr for Jesus Christ, it's where you willingly lay down your life. It's a joy to do so, to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service, to be not conformed to this world, but renewing your mind, and to love the brethren without hypocrisy.
So is that what you're saying, Mr. Kirk laid down his life for his position? Is that what you're saying?
No. All right. You'd have to look at Acts 6 and 7.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me ask you a question, because I forgot to ask that last caller. Where were you when you heard that 9/11 had happened, that the plane had crashed into the Twin Towers?
Oh, I was coming back from working out at a gym.
Oh, okay. And you heard it in the car? You were in the car?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I did.
You heard it on the radio?
Yep.
Yeah, so that's terrible. This is the, you know, those are terrible things, terrorist attack, assassinations, that occurred. Well, do you remember John F. Kennedy? Do you? How old are you, sir?
It's almost 74.
Oh, so you do remember when John F. Kennedy got assassinated?
I do.
Oh yeah, where were you for that one?
I was in school.
Oh, no kid. Did the teacher come in and tell you?
Yes.
Really? Just like that? So what grade would you have been in?
I was in sixth.
All right, so you were old enough that the teacher thought he could come in or she could come in and tell you?
Yes.
And then what was your impression? I mean, you're a young guy. You're like, oh, my God, this is awful, you know?
I didn't really understand.
Right.
I just knew that people were in mourning, and I didn't understand what was going on.
Yeah.
But now, today, I do.
What do you think we can do to solve this? I know you are a pious person. You call a lot. You believe that people ought to go back to religion. But separate and apart from that, don't we have to talk and sit and break bread with people that we don't agree with? Isn't that like one of the first steps that we have to take?
What you have to do is just like Christ did, where he willingly laid his life down. He submitted himself.
Well, right, but what are we going to do? What are we going to do like today and tomorrow? Don't we have to sit down with people we disagree with and hang out with them and break bread with them?
What you do with them is preach the true gospel of Christ.
Try to persuade them.
Yes, okay. to do the same, to follow Christ where their life is not dear to them, like
right.
The apostles did. See, today, people love their life. They want to live a long time.
Of course.
But no, see, that's wrong. You want those in John chapter 12, Jesus said, those that love their life will lose it, but those that hate their life in this world will find it. You have to walk while you have the light, because
right.
You're only alive for a very short time.
All right, I appreciate the call. I got to go to this break. Thank you very much for calling. If you're on the line, hang on. 508-996-0500. Back in a moment. It was old when John F. Kennedy got assassinated. I do remember Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and many of the ones that came after that, but what about 9/11? Do you remember where you were? Ironically, I was listening to WBSM. I was on my way to a doctor's appointment in Boston, and I'm a channel surfer. Sometimes I listen to Michael Rock over at Fun 107. Sometimes I listen to sports talk radio. Sometimes I just, you know, listen to oldies stations. I mean, I'm all over the place. But that particular morning, I happened to be listening to this very station, and I heard the announcement that the first plane had hit, and then I was like, well, what happened there? A plane crashed into the World Trade Center? At first, they thought maybe there was something wrong with the plane, or there was some kind of a mistake or some kind of electronic failure. But no, it wasn't when we heard the second one hit. And, of course, it was a terrible tragedy. So where were you when you heard about 9/11? We had one lady that said she worked the overnight shift and came home at 6 in the morning, went to bed, didn't wake up until 4 o'clock, and they were like, what the heck was going on? I've been sleeping all day through all of this. My wife was teaching school and had to continue to teach school even though there were kids in the class. My dad, when he heard about John F. Kennedy, he was a teacher, and the teacher that was next door to him came over and said, hey, did you hear what happened? Oh, my God, you know. So these are all terrible moments. And then as far as Charlie Kirk, the only thing that I thought was disheartening about it, the despicable act, should be condemned, horrible. Glad to hear many of the former presidents and people in leadership roles coming out and condemning violence, regardless of what direction it's coming in. Unfortunately, our president condemned violence only in one direction and then blamed Democrats. But here's a guy, he's a Republican, Spencer Cox, the governor of Utah. Here's what he said.
Internet fury is not real life. It's going to be okay. He again said, when you stop having a human connection with someone you disagree with, it becomes a lot easier to commit violence. He said, what we as a culture have to get back to is being able to have a reasonable agreement, being able to have reasonable agreement where violence is not an option. Now, again, to my young friends out there, you are inheriting a country where politics feels like rage. It feels like rage is the only option. But through those words, we have a reminder that we can choose a different path. Your generation has an opportunity to build a culture that is very different than what we are suffering through right now. Not by pretending differences don't matter, but by embracing our differences and having those hard conversations. I think we need more moral clarity right now. I hear all the time that words are violence. Words are not violence. Violence is violence. And there is one person responsible for what happened here. And that person is now in custody and will be charged soon and will be held accountable.
So there's one person and one person alone responsible for what happened. That is correct. That is correct. It's not, they're coming to get us. They hate us. They, the Democrats, they, the progressives. They tried to kill Trump. Now they've killed this guy. Who's they? The person who attempted to assassinate President Trump in Pennsylvania Googled Joe Biden. Joe Biden's schedule discovered he wasn't going to be in town. Then Googled the president and said, oh, he's going to be in town. Okay, I'll shoot him. There's no they. And this person here, Robinson, he didn't know that other person that attempted to assassinate Trump. And God knows what his motivation was. Maybe that he disliked Kirk. Apparently he did. I mean, that's pretty obvious. But does it have anything to do with Democrats in general? No. Absolutely not. Agree or disagree? Hello, you're next on WBSM.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Where was I on 9/11?
Yes.
I was working for a subsidiary of a company in New York City who had been in one of the towers, but months before they moved to New Jersey.
Wow.
So we didn't lose any, and they could see it from where they were in New Jersey, and our vice president who was down there that day called us up after the first attack, and we watched the other attack on the other tower.
Mm-hmm.
So wow. They were down lucky.
Yeah, that's for sure, that they happened to be relocated to New Jersey as part of their business. Otherwise, they would have been in one of the towers, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
But remember that there had been an attack on the towers at an earlier time.
Yes.
Remember in the
downstairs
basement.
In the cellar, yes. Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's when they took their decision to move.
Yeah.
But we felt very fortunate. Okay, that's it.
All right, thank you very much. Hello, you're next to WBSM. Hello? All right, I'm going to put you back on hold. I guess you walked away from the phone. Hello, you're on WBSM.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, good morning. Listen to your show. I just got on. I had a day off, and I woke up around 8 o'clock, and I turned the TV on, and I was like, what the heck happened? I just woke up, and then I, 10 minutes, I don't know how many minutes later, the second plane went, and I was in, like, totally blown away,
yeah.
Like everybody else was. That's where I was.
Yeah, it was so unexpected that something like that could happen right here in the United States, you know? I mean, now I don't know that we would be that shocked because of everything that's happening, but back then it was, like, just unthinkable.
Yes, yes. And on the Charlie Kirk fascination and all this going back and forth, you know that Biden, did you hear that? You know the September, I think it was September 1st or 2nd, 2022 speech with a red, he had that speech and he had a red background and it was belittling MAGA Republicans.
No, I don't.
Remember that speech?
No.
Yeah, he had the two soldiers in the background.
All right, what did he say? He said something that you didn't like?
He said the MAGA Republicans, because it was before the midterms, the MAGA Republicans were like the most dangerous at that point. And he was like, MAGA Republicans, MAGA Republicans, MAGA Republicans. That's what he was saying.
Okay.
And if you look, I believe this kid was influenced by Antifa. I mean.
Well, maybe, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
No, but you can't blame Democrats for that. You know, you can't just say, well, it's the problem.
Well, the liberals.
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean,
yeah.
I just gave you a list of.
You have.
I just gave.
Let me
give you a list of Democrats in our area. Mark Montigny, Tony Cabral, Tom Quinn, the DA, Chris Markey, who comes on the WBSM all the time with Chris McCarthy, John Mitchell. You know, I mean, none of these people advocate murder.
No, but you don't. Did you hear about all these after the fact?
Yes, I did.
All
awful.
These teachers went on.
Yeah, I don't know what they said. You know, unfortunately, put the news on. It's like they said something, inappropriate and they get suspended. Okay, what did they say? I don't know what they said. I have to see what they said first. But and then as far as the TikTok videos, those TikTok videos saying, oh, that was like a good thing, this poor man got murdered, absolutely reprehensible and horrible. But, you know, the president had a chance.
The president, the same thing.
Yeah, no, it's awful.
Nazi and fascism, just like Kamala Harris does.
Okay, but you know, but she can say just that. Like, but the people on the other side call people on the left communists and things like that too. You know what I mean? So those names get thrown back and forth. The left calls the right
socialists
communists.
Well, the Socialist Party, I like the commie. It's not. I mean, communists. I mean, fascism and Nazi is a little.
No, but you can disagree with it. Yeah, but they have a right to say it. They have a right to say it, though, don't you think?
They have the right to say it, but
so we agree with
that. The free speech and the thing with Alex Jones, he's an idiot. Yes, free speech, he said that.
Right. So we both agree that he's an idiot. Yes, absolutely, 100%. He comes from the right. He comes from the fringe right, you know. So
But he's an idiot.
Let me ask you this though, but don't you think the president could have said something a little more unifying rather than, well, see, that's the left, and let me give you a couple of examples here where that happened in that
he's
direction.
Not wrong.
But it happened in the other direction too. Why didn't he list both sides? Yeah, why didn't he say
because we don't, you see any riots in the streets? Do you see any looting? Do you see any?
No, I saw one on January. I saw one on January 6th. But other than that, no, I haven't seen. But my point is that, you know, if you listen to the statements of all the ex-presidents, if you listen to the statement of Spencer Cox, even Bernie Sanders, who I know you would strongly disagree with, it was much more unifying. Like, hey, yeah, this man got shot, was terrible. They tried to shoot Trump, that was terrible. They shot and killed that Democratic, Speaker of the House in Minnesota. And right, they broke into Nancy Pelosi's house and hit the elderly husband over the head with a hammer. If you're going to start listing examples,
who's
I think
the they.
Yeah, that I know there is no they. Guy. There is no they. That's exactly right.
Yeah, but this guy was totally, and you're going to see more stuff coming out because I heard this morning the roommate knew the plan. He hated Charlie. You're going to see more stuff.
Well, yeah, of course he hated him. He shot him. You know what I mean? But the person that hit Mr. Pelosi over the head with a hammer, who's an elderly person in his own house, whether he had skull fracture and had to have surgery on his head, you know, that guy is bad too. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, if you're going to start listening.
That wasn't political. Pelosi. This is political.
So I don't know if that was. How about the Minnesota Speaker of the House that got shot and killed? That's terrible. I'm just saying, if you're going to start listing them, just don't list one side. You know what I mean? Like, it's terrible. Don't you agree with me? We have to agree on this, and then I got to let you go. We have to agree that it's wrong all the way around, whether it's Alex Jones saying stuff or this or that. It's wrong all the way around, isn't it?
Absolutely, it's wrong.
Okay,
but,
all right.
Absolutely, it's wrong. But the liberals are not helping the cause. They're the ones that are inciting the violence online.
I disagree when we go, well, it's not my side. It's not my side. It's the other side. It's not my side. It's the other side. It's not my side. It's the other side. It's both sides.
I don't see buildings burning down or riots or looting.
What
or
riot? There's no riot.
That.
There's no riot going on right now.
No, okay. Not exactly. I don't see it. If it was the other, imagine if somebody got killed like that from the right.
It depends. If it was a racially motivated situation, you might. But if it was just like a liberal political commentator, and I would be wrong. That would be wrong with his riots and looting. I don't believe in any of that. All right, hey, thanks a lot for the call. I always appreciate your
thanks.
Call. Bye. All right, 508-996-0500. Got to get this break in. Please stay on the line. Back in a moment with the Paul Santo Show here on WBSM. On and. Put a little love in your heart and those kinds of songs just to kind of capture the moment here. Great sadness at this terrible murder of podcaster and talk show host who had a show right here on WBSM, Charlie Kirk. I know the people that agreed with him feel real deep sadness. People that were fans of the show, which I didn't listen to his show, but I still feel deep sadness too. Even though I imagine he politically probably at a different point of view than I do, but I still feel, I would say, the same sadness that you do, the same heartfelt feeling that you do. because, you know, here's a young man, early 30s, young children, just losing his life. It's just despicable. Just horrible. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Hi.
I'm going to answer your question.
Yes.
911.
Yes.
And I'll tell you a different feeling. I was at Fort Belvoir, Virginia, in a training class with a bunch of military guys. And ironically, when the thing went off, we had to evacuate the building, but we went outside.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Please call right back. That last caller, please call right back. This next caller. Hello, you're on the air. Okay, sorry about that. That last caller that was talking about being in the military, please call right back. I'll put you right back on. I haven't made that mistake in a long time. I used to do that all the time. I used to try to put you on hold, and I accidentally hang up on you trying to put the next caller on hold. And that's the first time I did it. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes.
Yep. Is it Paul?
Yes.
Oh, you sound different.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, during President Kennedy, I was in basic training, Fort Dix, New Jersey.
Okay.
And as far as the Twin Towers, I was in the Stop and Shop in Middleboro in the back room. And that was it for that. Now, all I got to say to you is about the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
You get rid of the 20 bad ones, and boy, what a government that would be.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have to say.
All right, but violence, either way, whether it comes from the right or the left, I mean, we all have to unite as fellow Americans, right, and
yes,
condemn it.
Yes, you're right there. Yes,
yeah, all
what
right.
I'm saying is these clowns that come on TV, and they knock the president down, the vice president down, they knock anybody down. That shouldn't be that way. That should be against the rules of the being a president or vice president.
No, but when Biden was president, people would criticize him, right?
Right, I'm just saying. That's what I mean. That shouldn't be happening. It's got to come. That's got to come to a stop. You know, it's you got to come together, and you got to come with how you're going to run the country. But you can't have these guys coming on TV. I mean, I don't see Republicans coming on like the Democrats. Like I told you, take them 15 or 20 away of them Democrats, and they're like animals. Take
all
them
right.
away. We have a beautiful government.
All right. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, I'm sorry. I disagree with that because I think that, you know, if you put on Fox News or you put on right-wing news outlets, they don't bang around the Democratic president or they don't vigorously go after or debate the people that they disagree with. Of course they do. Of course they do. And say, well, they should be silenced. No, they shouldn't be silenced. We have the First Amendment. You can say anything you want. You can't incite a riot. You can't say fire in a theater because that is not your opinion, but you can give your opinion about everything, about anything you want to say, even if your opinion is idiotic, like it's a flat earth. But we have to defend your right to say it. Remember that? Was it Patrick Henry that said, I may disagree with what you say, but I would fight with my life your right to say it. That's what we should be. That's what I would say. Hello, you're on WBSM.
Yeah, I think you cut me off.
Yes, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So I was at Fort Belvoir, and Fort Belvoir became a target because it's so close to Washington, and they actually closed down Fort Belvoir. They locked it down. You couldn't leave.
This is on 9/11?
9/11,
yeah.
That morning. And I ended up staying there 2 days. As soon as they as soon as they lifted the shutdown, I took my rental car, which I had from Washington, and I drove all the way back here and went right by New York. But what I wanted to get at was the feeling we keep hearing about everybody was together on that day. It didn't matter your color, your politics.
Oh, yes.
But what I felt being away, which was a little bit different because I lived in Freetown, I was like terrified because I didn't know what was coming next. I wanted to get home to my wife and my kids.
Exactly.
That was my priority. I just couldn't believe if everything was going to end, I wanted to be with them.
Yeah, I remember that too. I remember thinking that I wanted to be with my loved ones. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yes. Yep.
Exactly.
My family. Mm-hmm. Because I had small children at the time.
Yeah, different feeling when you're away, especially, you know, that far away. And you can't get back. You're on lockdown. You can't just leave.
Mm. You were in which service? The Army?
I was, at that point, I was a civilian for the Army, but it was at Fort Belvoir. So I was with all military guys. Mm. And the sad part was a lot of these people had spouses that worked at the Pentagon. So they, like, immediately got out of Dodge and headed that way because it was just traumatic. It was traumatic. But I just want to reemphasize,
yeah,
you got to think about the feeling you had that day.
Yeah.
It's, You know, it's too bad we can't get that feeling back.
I know. I agree with you. All right. Well, thank you for the call.
Thanks, Paul.
508-996-0500. Back in a moment. Ken Pittman coming up at 9 o'clock.
They were on Tucker Road. I probably used to do work for them. He was there, and some lady wanted to catch another plane, so he switched tickets. So he ended up being on the plane that went through the towers instead of the other one, that didn't go through the tower later during the day. But, I don't know if you know Father, but they mention his name all the time,
yeah.
Hogan.
Oh, Father Hogan,
anyway,
yes.
Yeah,
from St. Julie's.
No, not Hogan. No, that was Father Hogan. No, this is Grogan.
Grogan, okay.
He was a retired priest from Holy Cross Fathers. Yeah, and I'm 68 years old, and I've never seen the Democrats and the Republicans just at each other's throats all these years, like they're doing now.
I mean, it's not good.
I'm independent.
Yeah, it's not good.
I've never seen anything like this. This is not a big thing over here. And people are, in general, all my friends, they're on the other side. You know, but I don't get involved with talking about any politics with any of them because they're all for the other one. But okay. I know I didn't vote for him. But anyway,
right.
You take care.
Yeah,
and
thank you very much.
Day.
Hello, you're on WBSM.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
First of all, sorry about Charlie Kirk's.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Second of all, it was a MAGA. I'm not even going to say Republican. It was a MAGA person that shot him. Look it up. Family history of it. There was also a school shooting that day that nobody talked about. So I just thought I'd let you know that.
Right, so I mean, information still has to come out, of course, about this guy Robinson, assuming they got the right guy. But, you know, the point is, I'm listening to all of these comments by the former presidents, by the governor of Utah, even Bernie Sanders, who I know people disagree with, and it was all like, oh, this is terrible, no matter who does it, no matter what side it's on. And then the president originally said, we have to stop this, talk to people we disagree with. But then he immediately goes into, well, you know, it's the Democrats, and they did this, and they did that, and they're doing this, and they're doing that. And, come on, man, you can do better than that.
Yeah, regardless, there's somebody dead here. There's a bunch of school kids dead.
Oh, awful, awful.
The violence is going to stop. This Patel's going to be fired from the FBI. He absolutely has no idea what he's doing. They need to get somebody with years experience in the FBI to run the show.
Right. That's a whole nother show for another day.
Yeah, exactly. You have a nice day.
And all right.
Everybody do your research before you accuse people.
Right. Okay. Absolutely. Thank you very much for the call. All right. Final few moments here. I wanted to tell a quick story, too, because this one was so riveting. There was a friend of mine by the name of Chuck Mathers. He became he was an attorney at the time, but he became a judge. And I kind of knew him. He was in district court a lot. I think he's on the bench up in the Brockton area. He may be retired by now for all I know. But he wrote an editorial right after 9/11. And it was one of the most moving editorials that I ever saw. And what it was is that he had a friend that worked in the Twin Towers. And he saw in the news that the Twin Tower, the first tower, had been hit. So he called up his friend. Now, remember, we didn't really have iPhones. There were some cell phones, of course. You know, you could call a cell phone, but there was no real iPhones. And he called him up and he said, hey, how are you doing? He goes, yeah, actually, I'm on the other tower. And he's like, yeah, so what's going on? Are you leaving? He goes, yeah, I left, but they told us we could go back because this was the other tower. So he's like, oh, okay, well, I'm just thinking about you and, you know, good luck and we'll keep an eye on it. So he hung up and then he's watching the news and then he saw the plane crash into the second tower. And then he thought, oh, my God. And then he tried to call that friend. And, of course, nobody answered. And it turns out that the friend was immediately killed when the second plane hit. And what a riveting story that was. That, you know, unfortunately, the people at the time thought that it was safe for people in the second tower to go back into the second tower. And then, of course, that was not the proper recommendation at all. Now, some people would say, well, I wouldn't have listened to that. I wouldn't have gone back in. I don't know. Who knows what you would have done if the authorities and the people who purportedly are the experts in keeping you safe are saying, oh, yeah, that's the other tower. Go back in the other tower. I don't know. I think I might have been afraid to go back in. I don't know what I would have done. And I'm not sure you know what you would have done. But the fact that he went back in and that's the last conversation that he ever had with his friend. And what a wonderful editorial that was, and a moving editorial. And you know, it just goes back to the fact that life is so precious. And you never know on any given day, you know, what can happen. You can become ill. You can lose a loved one. Happens all the time. And so we just have to do the best we can. But I think, you know, speaking to people who we disagree with, it's just important. It's difficult. It's difficult to have conversations with people that we don't agree with. And maybe, you know, when you hang around with people who have very strong opinions, maybe you talk about something else. I have a lot of friends. I can't even remember when I was growing up and I had friends and we grew up and we hung out in high school and college and all that. I didn't even know what people's views were. And even if they had a view, it didn't seem like it really, nobody really cared. I knew people for 15, 20 years. I couldn't tell you what their politics were. I couldn't tell you who I voted for. As a matter of fact, you were supposed to vote and not tell people who you voted for. At least that was sort of the protocol. That's why it's a secret ballot. That's my decision. And, you know, I'll tell you who I voted for if I want to. But if I don't want to tell you, I'm not going to. And that was it. So many other things to talk about. How about the Patriots? How about the Red Sox? How about the weather? How about, you know, going to visit some friends? What about family coming in? I know you folks that are out there, you have friends and family that disagree with you. And you still love them anyway. They're not dangerous. They're not out for killings and murders and things like that. Speaking of putting a little love in your heart, I don't think Ken Pittman sings songs. You don't sing any like Peter, Paul, and Mary and stuff like that. No, that's he's a rocker. This guy's a rocker. I think he works out too because he likes to come in these t-shirts that I could never wear. But anyway, Ken Pittman is up next for the 9 to noon. And then I believe we got Brian this afternoon, 1 to 4. And of course, we also have Jose Matos at noontime. So a difficult week. We hope it gets better.